proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported JAZZ 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 11th of June, Anno Domini 2011, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
You made your coffee high here or something?
He's about 30 seconds behind schedule.
Yes,
I was standing.
You were on, major caffeine high, dude.
You sound like those commercials. They got to cram, 2 minutes into 30 seconds.
And now I'm sitting down.
Thank you.
I'll be a lot more mellow.
We're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff to use, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Here we go.
We had a
suggestion for a contest. We have to think about it. I have no idea what we'd give away. All right, here we go. Facebook.
Rob.
Give away Rob.
A date with Rob.
A date with Rob. What a great idea.
Well, first place is no date with Rob. Second place, date with Rob.
First place, no date with Rob. Second place, date with Rob. Yep. That'll work. All right. In case you haven't heard by now, Facebook and its fearless leader, Mark Zuckerberg, are back in the spotlight for playing around with its users' privacy. Yeah. Again, the latest Zuckup revolves around facial recognition in Facebook photos. A security firm noted that Facebook has started using its voodoo to scan faces in photos and try to recognize each other. Excuse me, other users. After a picture is uploaded, Facebook looks at all the shining smiles and searches for matches in its slightly creepy database of faces. If it sees someone who it thinks is one of your friends, it alerts you and asks you if you want to tag them in the photo. Heebie-jeebies aside, the real problem is that Facebook started including users in this service without explicitly telling them, and equally important, without letting them decide whether they were interested in opting in. By default, everyone's part of the program. You have to take the initiative in order to opt out, which, as you know, is exactly the wrong way to do security. Consider, too, that as part of the program, your face is stored in some sort of centralized repository that can be accessed and matched at a second's notice. In practicality, is that going to be a real hazard? Probably not. But in principle, it's certainly a little disturbing. To be clear, Facebook did announce the partial launch of its facial recognition program in a blog last December. That launch came with its own set of slightly less public privacy problems. What's new now is that Facebook has started rolling out the feature to more users in more countries without first giving them a heads up. And again, the users are all opted in by default. Facebook has since apologized for the flub and, to use an oddly appropriate term, tried to save face. But how many times can these stumble bums act first and then clean up the mess later? It's getting hard to keep track of all the times it's happened. In early 2009, Facebook changed its terms of service without letting anyone know. Following a massive uproar and a federal complaint, the social network did an about-face and let its users vote on how best to undo the damage. Later that year, Facebook simplified its privacy options, leading to new default settings that made your personal info public if you didn't take action. Last April, Facebook introduced an open graph program that shared your info with their external sites by default. Sure, you could disable it, but only if you knew about it and took the time to figure out how and then go through a series of involved steps. The list goes on, but you get the point. Facebook has done this kind of thing far too many times. The game of after-the-fact apologizing is getting really old. So, our question to you on our poll of the week at Facebook, at soundbites.org. Soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like to remind you is Facebook's new recognition software. And the choices are doesn't bother me in the least, is a complete invasion of my privacy. It's not a surprise. It's Facebook, and I'm willfully ignorant of threats to my privacy. And then when you're done voting in that poll, of course, you'll have much more to say because I know you. And so you can head over to check out the little yellow box at the bottom of the screen. You'll find a link that says, give us your opinion. It'll take you to yet another website. And ding. and you can enter your opinion. The question there, of course, is how do you feel about Facebook's new face recognition software? And, of course, that's our question to you. So give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
One other way that they can get a hold of us that I also want to promote, sorry, jumping in there, Steve, is also they can text us. And they can do that by texting
us at
585-209-9010. So if you're out, maybe you're out getting ready and getting some stuff together to head out to the Jazz Fest, which started off last night, which was fantastic. You can text us a computer question, and we'll get right back to you. So you can sit right back and in your car or wherever you are and just listen to the answer. And again, you can do that at 585-209-9010.
I'm going to say the other issue with this Facebook thing is that a lot of spam and junk mail fly around saying, hey, is this a picture of you I saw last night? Or, hey, I ran across this picture. Is this you? And that's basically what Facebook is saying. Here's some pictures. Is this you? And so now, except they're doing it after the bad guys already did it.
Right.
So you can't trust any of them anymore.
I just started watching that movie last day before yesterday. We were watching
the social network.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm only halfway through with it, and that kid is unbelievable, Zuckerberg.
Oh, yeah. And those in the know are apparently saying, yeah, it's not really all that much exaggerated.
That's what a couple other folks were saying. I haven't seen the whole thing, so I got to watch the last hour of it when I have some time. But right now, like I said, this yesterday
started. Are you busy doing something?
Yes.
Tell us what it is, won't you?
We're down at the Jazz Fest, and having a great time. So if you folks haven't had a chance, please. Jazz Fest is going on, and there's just a lot of great stuff. The artists go on and on and on, and it's really something, the way the city puts this on. And, it's such a good time. The other thing that I'm always amazed about, as you can go down there, and I see everybody from little kids, and I mean by little kids, maybe 7, 8 years old, to elderly folks, and everybody in between. And everybody is just there to have a good time. No attitudes, no, anything. It is just an unbelievable concert that no fights break out or anything else.
Yeah, it's
really cool. Hopefully the weather's going to hold out for us.
Jazz people are kind of mellow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. And I know the predicament they're in as far as, they say, well, it's really not the Jazz Fest. True, it's not. So, when I tell folks, the Jazz Fest is going on, well, I don't like jazz. Well, hold on, folks. There are other acts there other than jazz. There's R&B. I mean, you just got to go through the list. And if you're not sure, there's the computer. You can YouTube them. Because I guarantee you, if they're a group and they've been around for a few months, they probably got a YouTube up that you can listen to them. And if they're at the Jazz Fest, they've been around for a while, that you can go out and check them out as far as the songs and everything else. So, try using that computer for that also.
Right. There's a lot of great stuff going on down there. They've just Natalie Cole was last night. Kevin Eubanks
was rocking the house.
Yeah.
Girls with Guitars was nice.
There was a bunch of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, are we blocked from IRC now on top of everything else?
I haven't noticed.
Facebook in terms of privacy, you really need to understand. While there is no real privacy on the internet, there's definitely no privacy on Facebook. Absolutely none. Don't even pretend that there is. Believe me, there are a bunch of us who know lots and lots of ways to get around anything that you might try to make private on the net.
FNet is blocked.
Well, I seem to be in now, so I don't know quite how I got there, but I got there somehow. Took a while, but I don't care. It got there.
Yes, it's
we do. If you're an IRC user, and if you're not, I don't know why you're not. You can join us on Octothorpe soundbites, or if you prefer, pound soundbites or hash soundbites on FNet. I don't quite know how I got there this time, since a whole bunch of them were blocking me. But I seem to be here, and that's very nice too. And you can join us there, and there are a bunch of people who talk about all kinds of things, and every once in a while it has something to do with the show, so that's nice, too. You can also join us, of course, on our Facebook page. You can, although that's not private, as you may know, you can send us...
I've been banned.
Yeah, we all got banned somehow. I don't know how that happened. I don't think it's us. I think it's
the proxy. Yeah, the school's proxy
the
has
school's
been
proxy
blacklisted.
Server,
so
tightening it down?
Somewhere I got there in there somewhere. I don't know how. Yeah, yeah. And that's fine. I mean, that's what they should be doing.
Yeah.
It just is annoying to us. Oh, well, we'll get over it, you know?
Well, it kind of makes sense because the school is blocking them, so they block the school.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, is there any way we could be excluded from that list?
We have a bypass password to get around it.
Oh, okay.
But since we are hosted at a school, a lot of the social issue, you know, Facebook is blocked, YouTube is blocked, chat things are blocked, because they don't want students doing that when they're supposed to be learning.
Right.
Although you learn about lack of privacy by going to Facebook.
Yes, you do. To bring it back around, thank you.
Yeah.
There is no privacy there. I know at least a couple of different companies who have on their payroll human resources, payroll people who it's their job to go and look you up on Facebook. And I don't mean just the stuff that's publicly available. So if you're one of those people who posts pictures that might not be the sort of thing an employer would expect to see.
And they're looking. They're looking
and
to
they're
see.
Looking,
yeah.
And you hide those. It doesn't really matter. They will find them. It's ridiculously easy to do on Facebook.
What was getting interesting is we've now got a generation of young kids that have grown up with this social networking.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of reports about the last election about candidates that had embarrassing pictures of themselves. In fact, a junior senator was on one of the MTV's Real World series. And apparently the young voters don't care that there's embarrassing photos of the candidates because there's embarrassing photos of them, too.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I don't personally care, but if you want to get hired into a company where there's still old people in charge, then you should care. I mean, that's the way that works.
Oh, yes,
you
know,
it's your life. Live it the way you want, but also be aware that there are other people living their lives the way they want. And if they're the ones who are not hiring you, get over it.
Especially be wary if your name is Anthony Weiner.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Oh, I had one person amazed, and I said, well, I can remember before TVs had remotes.
Yeah, that was.
They give me a look, and I, wait a minute. How would you control the TV?
You smack your kid. He gets up and changes.
That's why you have kids.
Well, that's what I said. I was the remote.
And there were only three channels to watch anyway.
They go, what do you mean you were the remote?
I
said, I had to get up. My dad said, change the channel. We got up. We went over and physically changed it. They go, ooh.
There were three channels and then Doctor Who.
Right.
The only thing on that other channel we watch.
Yeah, right.
And when the president's on, there's nothing to watch.
Yeah. Except Doctor Who.
And I remember when we got our fifth channel in town here in Rochester.
Yes.
I was a young kid. Oh, my goodness.
They had
stuff I wanted to watch.
Schiller Theater. They had contests. I won one of those contests. It was a captioning contest. And I won two tickets to something I didn't want to go see anyway. But I won the contest, and that's really what counts.
I remember back in the 70s, because I was just building my house out in Greece, cable asked permission to come through my my yard right away, and they gave me a free year of cable.
Nice.
And that's when we first started up, and it was like, cool. You had this box, and it was on a long cord. So you could bring it up into, say, over by the couch. You had to make sure you didn't trip on the cord.
Right.
And slide that little slider back and forth. That I really liked.
You could
faster than you could push buttons.
Yep.
That slider, you could go through all the channels really quick.
Yeah, that was back when it was analog. Now that it's digital, it takes forever to change a channel. It just takes forever. And I'm not as patient as I used to be. So I'll click a button, and I'll go, raggle,
yes,
mutter,
channel,
mumble,
channel
click another one.
Channel surfing is different these days. You don't actually flip the channels. You go to your guide, and you scroll through the guide.
Yeah, that's what I do now, because you can't change the channels with any speed whatsoever.
Or you load them with your favorites, and go through your favorites.
That's what I do.
Yep.
So you bring up the guide, click through your favorites, and then if you don't find anything, then you go through the guide itself.
Yeah,
it's a whole different world out there, and once you learn it, that's... that's okay, but oh well.
It was May 1980 when we got our fifth TV channel.
May 1980. Very nice. Very nice. I remember it.
A long time ago. The 80s doesn't sound that long ago, but it was.
Yeah. So were the 60s and the 70s.
Yep.
The 60s were that long ago.
If I can remember them.
I can't. I don't. I'm pretty sure I was there. So I remember some stuff from the 50s, and I remember a lot of the 70s. So I'm pretty sure I was around in the 60s.
Well, I was there because I have a diploma that said I walked up on stage, and they've got pictures.
Yeah, I've got pictures of me from the 60s. So apparently I did something.
But I was up on stage, and I actually did receive a diploma. So I have proof that I was around at least.
The really good news about the 60s?
Hmm.
No cell phones.
That's true.
No,
so when we did the stupid things we did in the 60s, nobody recorded it.
Oh.
The only people who were there were the people who were doing it with you, and there was no record to go up on YouTube.
God, because if my grandson or grandkids did some of the stuff I did, I'd have their heads.
Well, the funny thing is that throughout my daughter's middle and high school career, her guidance counselor was one of my best friends from childhood. And every time my daughter said, "Oh, Mr. DeBellis gave us a lecture on blah blah blah," and I just bite my tongue and say, "Really? Great. That's good. That's really good." He threatened at one time to tell my daughter all the things that I had done. I said, "No, you were right there with me. So if you blow me in, I'm blowing you in.
Fair play is turn around is fair play."
Exactly.
Here's what's not to do.
Yeah, right. And how would you know that, Dad? I read about it. I'm widely read.
I put myself at risk to learn the dangers so I could teach you what not to do.
Exactly. That's it right there. All right, we're going to take a break while we try to wipe most of the 60s and 70s out of our heads. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ariel Wasdorp.
And we are Soundbites. And I don't know who this woman is. She just follows Dave around.
It's my lovely granddaughter.
Yeah, that's the...
See, that's how we know Dave is old.
Yeah, right.
It's not the gray hair or the bald spot. Or
he's got a granddaughter who's 21. That's how we know he's old.
Mm-hmm. No, we have to go to a quick run over to a... What is it, a barbecue?
Yeah.
My daughter is having the second annual barbecue, so I got to pop out there for a few minutes, say hello and everything else, and then I got to get my butt down to the Jazz Fest.
You got to take your whole body with you because really you'll be wanting to stand and stuff like that, so bring your feet.
Have to.
All right, Microsoft on Thursday said it will issue 16 security updates next week to patch 34 vulnerabilities in Windows Internet Explorer, Office, SQL Server, and other products. It's the usual mishmash for an even-numbered month, said Andrew Storms, Director of Security Operations at N-Circle Security. But to some degree, we expected a big month, and they stayed true to form. Microsoft typically releases a large number of updates in even-numbered months and fewer in odd-numbered months. In May, for instance, Microsoft shipped just two updates. The company called them bulletins, to patch only three vulnerabilities. Of the 16 updates, 9 will be rated critical, the highest threat label for Microsoft's four-step scoring system, while the remaining 7 will be marked important, which is the second most dire ranking. Next week's Patch Tuesday bulletin count will be the second largest this year, following April's collection of 17 updates. The number of bugs Microsoft plans to squash will also be the second highest in 2011. Microsoft fixed a record of 64 flaws in its software portfolio back in April. The company also regularly, and this time it's only 34, the company also regularly updates IE on even-numbered months and will patch its browser next week in two separate bulletins, an unusual move. Both IE updates were labeled critical. All versions of IE will receive one of the updates, including IE 9, which is the newest edition, which means that they found a flaw that has existed from the very beginning. But the second IE bulletin will affect only IE 8 and older versions. Next Tuesday's IE 9 update will be the browser's first since it debuted in mid-March, as well as the first pegged critical. So basically, it had a critical bug the day it shipped. Beyond the two updates that affect IE, 10 target Windows, 2 will address bugs in Office, the Excel spreadsheet, and InfoPath, which is Office's form maker. They'll both receive fixes. One will patch the 4Front security client, and another will update .NET and Silverlight. which are the platforms bundled with Windows. So are you ready for yet another massive update to Windows? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
And we should remind folks about Sunday night.
Sunday.
That the, as far as, Second Life.
We'll be in Second Life Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Linden time. We'll be over in Zalfor, X-A-L-F-O-R. You can find me online, and I'll give you a transport if that's what you want.
Because, other SIM is gone.
The other SIM is gone.
Yep.
Apparently, the group that was running it and had just so generously given us space.
Mm-hmm. Yep, has they now were fantastic.
Generously not given any money at all to Second Life, and so the entire island is gone. But we're there, and we'll be in Zalfor, X-A-L-F-O-R. It's a big area with lots of magnificent stuff. Magnificent stuff on it. So you really should go and look around, no question. And feel free to hit the tip jar. That's certainly something you should do. But I'll be online by 9 o'clock. So if you want to transport in to the area and make your own little landmark, you can do that, and I'll be happy to do it. It's a pretty good deal. It's a pretty good deal. We're having a lot of fun there, thanks to both Bonnie and Newt for giving us the space. And you really should look around because they've done some astonishing stuff there. All right, to the phones. Our first caller, Bodan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
Welcome, gentlemen. First of all, I always feel it's Christmas time when I receive presents from Bill Gates and Microsoft. Updates next week, I just can't wait.
Can't wait. There's so many of them.
I know. It's just, again, it's Christmas in June.
Exactly.
But on a serious note, Nick, I did not see you last night representing this fine radio station that you are at right now. Dave Enright was there representing the staff. And he did an excellent job. And my question to you folks is this, David. How did you become so lucky as to introduce the three beautiful young ladies yesterday for the 8:30 performance, Girls with Guitars?
I did.
You were so suave and debonair up there. You were almost like a Cary Grant.
They asked me back, and I did the 10 o'clock, too.
Did you? I missed that one. I went to another show.
Oh, yeah. There was another big crowd there. As a matter of fact, somebody from the crowd, the minute I yelled out, that I was Dave Enright from Member Supported Jazz 90.1, all of a sudden from the crowd I hear, "Yay, soundbites!"
Anyway, Nick, you are missing a wonderful time.
And, I know that.
I just want to let you know that Dave represented the station in a very professional way. In fact, I think Rob Linton should give him a raise.
Rob Linton, let's double his salary.
I'm telling you. David, I'll be back out there tonight. And, Nick, if you get a chance, come on out.
I'll be there, man.
It won't be tonight, but it will be some point this week.
You know where I'll be.
I'll stop by and say hi.
Thank you.
Enjoy your day, gentlemen.
Thanks, Bodan. Keep smiling.
Makes people wonder what you're up to.
That's exactly right.
So I keep telling them.
It annoys people when you're smiling all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have... I don't think they've named it yet, but there is a new Trojan going around.
Yeah.
Dude, this one is nasty. With a capital N. And the fact that it will literally hide folders and programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so far we haven't found any easy utility or anything else to put things back. Granted, we can get a lot of it cleaned out. And here's what it does, folks. First, it wipes out all your programs and then on the desktop. And we got to manually go back in there and unhide those. But that's not the half of it. That's the easy part to get through. But, you know, when you click on your start program and you go to programs and you'll see all the programs. Say I click on, say you have Norton or McAfee. And you click on that and it opens up, or better yet, Microsoft Office. Sure. I click on Office. You click on that one and it opens up another side one and it'll show you, say, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Publisher, Access, and all those.
Right.
This program deletes all those.
Nice.
So you have to go back in and rebuild all the items in off the program.
Wow. Nice.
Yes,
so it doesn't actually delete the programs. It just takes the shortcuts out of the menu.
It wipes out all the shortcuts and everything else. We haven't found a way to put them back easily. So again, I try to be calm. And you know me, I'm pretty easy to get along. But when people start getting ticked off, well, why did it take so long? I don't know. It just does because it that these idiots destroy it.
It's tedious and time-consuming.
It's not that I'm trying to, create these things. These idiots out there, well, they can't be too idiot. They're dreaming up this crap and, keeping my shop busy, and I'm sure a lot of other shops. And
well,
it just takes time.
What's the gain from this one? Is there something you can buy, they want you to buy to fix it, or is it... Is this just because the idea of just damaging people's machines is a dying idea.
Yeah, this one is. I mean, although, wait, no, we did see one other variant. Yes, they wanted you to spend $39 or $49.95 to help correct it. Yes, there was two of them that did that, but even after paying that, everything's gone off the desktop anyways.
Right. They just want your money. They want out your credit card number.
Take your money and run.
Yep. It's amazing the stuff that's out there. Again, you can pound the dead horse of that's why we don't run Windows, some of us, but the reality is that a lot of people do, and you need to protect yourself, and you need to be careful, and you need to make sure your stuff is updated. The real problem nowadays, of course, is that you can't tell anymore. You can get, there's a lot of drive-by downloads where you just go to a legitimate website, but there's an ad on the site. Some of them are from Google, but most of them are not. There's an ad on the site that jumps in and does stuff on your machine because you've got Java turned on or JavaScript or whatever, .NET or whatever, and they jump right into your system and start downloading stuff. You don't even have to go to a bad place. The bad places are coming to you.
Yeah. And a lot of folks say, I only open, again, here's the old ad, I only open them for my friends. Yeah. So they can't be infected and don't have a clue, and they send it to you, and now you're infected? That's not a good rule of thumb. You've got to periodically check your own machine.
And it's easy for the bad guys to make up names. A lot of people know, John Smith, but, Fred, something else.
Right, you get 200 from Ixnex, Farnamager, and then you get one from somebody you actually know, or at least a name that's familiar to you. Did I go to high school with that person? I better open this one. Yeah, not a good idea. Well, you're so close to high school, you would remember. Yeah. I barely remember high school, of course, so if I get a name that I think maybe it's... Don't you start laughing at me.
Not my generation, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And but, I'm only like, what, how many generations?
Yeah, exactly.
Four?
Yeah.
Now this four generations ahead of her.
This is kind of interesting. On the Sophos threat matrix... Conficker is still representing 40% of malware floating around. Conficker was patched 3-4 years ago now?
Most people, and this is very, very true, most people don't patch. And that is exactly what the virus writers are hoping for. Most people simply don't patch. I don't have to patch. I've never been hit. Yeah, that you know of. You're probably one of the big vectors.
I get a lot of people saying, well, the message pops up, and I don't want to interrupt what I'm doing now, so I'll do it later, and then later, and then later, and later never comes.
Right.
Or what gets, I've seen several machines in the past couple of weeks, they're still running SP1 or SP2, and the patches stopped coming for them because they never got SP3 loaded. So and I had a machine where they couldn't get SP3 loaded because they had to load an update from Compaq first. And then when SP loaded, 108 patches came in after Service Pack 3.
Right. Or the people who are still using XP, which isn't being updated except for critical patches, and then that's going to stop pretty soon. So they're saying, XP works fine for me. Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Isn't it this week, June?
Oh, it's pretty shortly.
I had another person that has an old IBM ThinkPad. They're still doing...
What a beautiful machine that was, boy.
Yeah, using it and all that. But they brought it in. We cleaned it up. And she goes, well, it's not any faster. And your point? She goes, well, I thought it would run faster. I said, we cleaned it up. Here's the thing, though. And this is what some folks have to realize. The thing can be running along smoothly. Running fantastic. And you do some of these updates for your computer, say updating Internet Explorer, some of these other programs they add on. Well, see, here's the thing with updating a lot of this stuff. A lot of these programs that have been updated assume you have newer and better equipment.
And if, so you read, if you read close on the box, it'll probably say XP Service Pack 3. Or we're seeing a lot of them now say Vista.
Well, I'm just
some
saying
of them
just
only say 7.
I'm saying just updates that you already have installed. Sometimes you're better at staying at version 5 than going up to 6, 7, or 8. Because 5 works fine for your machine and your hardware. You start adding to these other versions, and they expect other hardware requirements, which they don't publish on the updates. And they just assume, oh, well, everybody's got, you know, this or that. And it can literally slow the machine down, making it worse than it was to begin with.
Yeah, we're starting to see that a lot in, actually, in the, I don't know about the Apple App Store, but in the Google Android market. Sorry, I won't call it the App Store. God forbid Steve Jobs comes down and hurts me. In the Android market, there are a lot of particular apps that are designed specifically for a tablet or designed for newer phones. And, you know, I've got the original Droid, and I can load them on my phone, but holy mother of pearl, by the time they open, it's Tuesday. So I just delete them, but the reality is that we're seeing that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The Android market is now going to be adding in the compatibility chart.
Okay.
So when you go to load something, actually the Android market now actually knows what your phone is because you set it up, right? So when you say, "Oh, I want this one," it loads it directly to your phone. And you get a list of all your devices, so I can say I want to load this one to my tablet and this one to this phone, this one to that phone. And it'll come back and say, well, you can't load this to that because it's not compatible.
Oh, the one thing.
Very cool.
Talking about apps, the one thing we've been doing, and again, I guess, I forget the gentleman's name, but what I'm talking about, getting around to it, is the iTouch. We take that with us, and we got that new little device that we can plug into it and swipe it and take
the
credit
square
cards.
Up. Square.
Yes.
About the Square.
Yeah, we've got that, and we're taking it now, so when we show up
to isn't that the best thing ever?
Go up there, and the customer, do you want me to, you know, call Sam with the credit card? Well, no, we can take it right here. Huh? Pull out the iTouch, plug in the little unit because, you know, they've got wireless, swipe it through, boom, we've just taken the credit card.
Yeah, the Square is a device from SquareUp.com, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little white thing that plugs into your headphone jack. And you run the application, and it lets you swipe credit cards. If you've got a phone, you can be anywhere.
Yeah.
If you've got an iPod Touch like he does, you have to be somewhere where there's wireless. But so what? I mean, most of the places there are where he goes. And you swipe it, and you set it up the same way you would set up PayPal or anything else. And they take a lot less than most other places.
Percentage, yes.
That's what I'm saying. And you get a lot more. And so you can swipe from wherever you are. It's really very, very cool.
We found that the Square swipe fee is a little bit higher than our regular merchant account extra fee for typing in a credit card number.
Uh-huh.
And so we ended up not doing Square because it's convenient, but it would cost a little more than we already do.
Yeah,
but
I know,
yeah,
it's a flat
fee per swipe, which makes it really nice for small businesses who don't already have a merchant account too.
All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Ariel, me, Nick, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ariel Wasdorp.
And we are Soundbites. Sorry, just had to listen to that.
Yeah.
All right. It's natural for users of LinkedIn, Facebook, and other social networking services to assume that their profiles are their own to use and modify over time as they see fit. After all, profiles feel much like extensions of ourselves, rather like the cars we drive or the homes we live in. They're mostly nobody else's business, right? Wrong, at least potentially. You already heard our report about Facebook, but here, as was highlighted on Friday by a report published on the Distributed Marketing blog, companies are seeking increased control over what their employees post online, and LinkedIn is no exception. It all started on Tuesday when compliance software vendor Actions announced that what it called LinkedIn, and I quote, LinkedIn static content pre-approval workflow capabilities, unquote. And it's Socialite platform for social media management and compliance. That platform is designed to help financial services firms comply with regulations such as the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority Regulation Notice 10-06, which requires that all static content from companies in this industry be pre-approved prior to publishing, including content on blogs and social networks. Toward that end, Socialite enabled pre-approval of content added to popular social networking sites, including Facebook and Twitter. Now, thanks to the platform's new LinkedIn features, Socialite intercepts end-user edits of LinkedIn profiles. Let me repeat that for you. It intercepts end-user edits of LinkedIn profiles and automatically reroutes the changes to a compliance officer for review. The reviewer is then able to identify the specific elements of a LinkedIn profile that were changed and can either accept or reject the edits as well as making comments. And remember, this was already in place for Facebook and Twitter. It's not just changes that you make on the corporate network that will be noticed either. In fact, Socialite gives companies the ability to monitor, alert, and capture changes made from pretty much anywhere, including mobile devices. The bottom line, it seems, is that there are clearly countless gray areas here that will need to be tried and tested in court before any hard and fast rules emerge. In the meantime, you may want to think carefully about how you proceed. So our question to you, are you on LinkedIn? How do you feel about it now? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free at 1-800-790-0415.
I've heard of cases where usually big CEOs, you know, their LinkedIn status changes. I'm not working for company X. And then so the company they were previously working for, their stock price tanked because it hasn't been announced yet that he's leaving.
Right.
And so that's sort of the likely intent of this issue, that you know, they want to cut down on insider trading, they want to cut down on improprieties, but it's going a little too far, I think.
Yeah, here's the problem. How do you separate the public persona of an? Why are we playing this here?
Oh, it was only our headphones, maybe?
How do you separate the public persona of yourself personally from the public persona of you as some big noise in a company?
Especially big companies. You know, Apple is a big example. You know, Steve Jobs basically is Apple. And a lot of big companies, Bill Gates is Microsoft, even though he's been gone for so many years now, that they're so associated with their company that anything happens. When Steve Jobs just announced his medical leave, you know, the stock price dropped quite a bit.
Huge.
Because, you know, he's not there anymore. Well, he's still there. He did the WWDC demos this week, so he's still there.
Yeah, he wasn't looking all that good, frankly.
He's not involved in the day-to-day operations, but he's still there.
He's still there. The big thing is that you're right. There has to be some sort of compliance officer who's able to say, look, you can't say that as the company, right? But at some point, I think we have to understand. And again, I suspect it's old people like us, like me, who can't understand the difference between.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, not you. Who can't? Yeah, because I said old people. They, who can't understand the difference between what you say as a private individual and what you say as a company. So, for example, I have a friend who's a very big noise at a large tech company. I won't name it because I have several at different companies. And what he puts on his private blog and what he tweets and what he puts on Facebook are not necessarily something I would think that this large tech company would be happy with. On the other hand, nobody else seems to care because it's his private thing, and it's not the company. And, you know, he says on there,
so he doesn't mention the company, so they can't actually condone him.
Right.
So they're walking right on the line.
Right. You'd have to actually know he worked for that company ahead of time because he never has – he has exactly zero about that company – on his private Facebook or whatever.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I do understand that. So And that's one way to keep it separate. But Steve is actually right about the fact that I didn't mean to sound so surprised, Steve. But Steve is right about the fact that for at least a number of people, and it may be more than we think, you are the public face of your company. Mm-hmm. So when you say something, it just happened to Gilbert Gottfried. He's an actor. He has nothing to do with Aflac except that he's the voice of the duck.
And he just got replaced.
And why?
Because with a guy that sounds like him.
He
probably asked for too much money.
Some very bad things on Twitter.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And so they dumped him. Now, he's not a spokes individual. He was the spokes duck, I suppose, if you want to put it that
Quacked
way.
Up.
All he really did was quack for Aflac. That's all he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But people associated him with the company. So when he said the things that he said,
they had to break the tie.
On Twitter, they had to break the tie.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter that he actually gets no money from the company at all, except when he's standing in front of a microphone going, Aflac.
Mm-hmm. I'd hope his contract says a penny a piece when on the air.
But the point is, it's
residuals.
Not like people,
that's where the money
like
is.
People were going to Gilbert Gottfried. He said bad things about the tsunami. He made jokes that were really in very poor taste. Nobody goes to Gilbert Gottfried and says, tell us about their policy about hiring something. I don't know, whatever. Nobody's going to go to him for that because he's an actor. He's an idiot. What does he know? But when he tweets bad jokes about the tsunami that were really
bad taste,
heartless. They were pretty bad taste.
Yes,
extremely. Did you read them?
I read the first one and I thought, oh, he's done.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, the first one he was host. You knew it right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
Forget it.
And so he's even though he has nothing to do with Aflac except as the voice.
And I would think in these times, I mean, even for actors, to mess up on something like that right now.
Well, it's just a guy. That's, we elevate actors and sports heroes.
I'm just
a guy.
No, yeah, but what I'm saying, no, it's income.
Just a guy. Often they're bigger idiots than the rest of them. Look, I spent 20 years as a professional actor. I know enough not to have any respect for anybody in the acting profession. And those who do have that respect misplaced. That's all I have to say about that.
Oh, one thing I should mention, do a little segue here, for you folks. We've been mentioning here that the Jazz Fest started last night and it's going on and it'll be going on all week. But one thing I definitely want to clue you folks in is you want to listen this week because we got some more tickets to give away. And the only way you're going to win them is by keeping your radio on this 90.1 to have your chance to win them. Again, we are going to be giving away some of these tickets that go to, I forget the actual concerts that are coming up, but, that would cost you some bucks that you might have a chance to win it. So keep your dial here at 90.1 for your chance to win. You never know when.
Right. Oh, I have a, what? Oh, all right, never mind. I have a question here from Carl from Rochester, sent to our website at soundbites.org. The question, he says, I recently replaced my Dell laptop. The motherboard died. It was running XP Professional. Got a new Dell with Windows 7, 64-bit. I have a Dell A960 printer, but the printer won't run. Dell says it is obsolete. They want me to buy a new printer. Is there a patch or other fix to configure this printer with the new computer?
What OS?
Windows 7. Thanks. Loved you guys since the 90s. I'm a member. Keep up the great work. Yay, Carl.
Windows 7.
If Dell does not make the drivers, then it's probably not available.
Right.
You may be able to look at Gutenprint. Does Gutenprint run on Windows?
I don't think it does.
That's on the Mac world. a bunch of Unix people have put together the part of the common Unix printing system where they write drivers themselves for their own printers.
Yeah.
That's the way the Unix people are.
But, since it's a Dell one, though, I mean, HP is so much better about even, some of their machines. They are just so much better even supporting even very old desk jets to even work with Windows 7.
Yeah.
I'm amazed.
Yeah. But if Dell says there's no driver, they ought to know.
And there's no drivers.
And you can get a new printer for $50, but that's You shouldn't have to, which is annoying.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Our next caller is Dave from Rush, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Yeah. Hi, guys. Here's my issue. I have an AMD machine running XP Pro, and it started blue screening last week, and the key error was ATAPI.sys on the blue screen. And when I would try to reboot in safe mode, that wouldn't work. I could reboot into Windows, and I could get to the user login screen, but as soon as you tried to log in as a user, everything would start to come up correctly, and then it would blue screen again. So I never could get to the point where I could do any more. So my plan is to reload Windows, and I wanted to get your comments on that.
That's a nice plan, but I don't think it's going to work.
Okay.
The ATAPI system is your hard drive.
I took the hard drive out, and I put it into another machine as a slave, and I can access, and I got all my data off of it. So
it may be the,
with that.
It may be the hard drive controller, then, in the computer.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Which is probably built into the motherboard.
Right. So if the drive, and that's exactly what I was going to suggest, try the drive in another machine. If the drive still works, then the problem is likely to be your motherboard.
Okay.
And, you know, the fix for that is a new motherboard.
All right.
I mean, so, I'm sorry,
can you buy hard drive controllers separately anymore?
Can you still buy hard drive controllers to plug in? Okay, then you can buy a hard drive controller and plug that into one of your slots and then attach the hard drive to that, assuming that it's compatible with how long that drive is.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That'll work. But those are cheap, so you're not going to be out a lot of money if it doesn't work.
Right. You go to the third company. Go ahead.
So you don't, there's no chance that it's a software component that's associated with the hard drive controlling as opposed to the hardware?
Without seeing it and actually testing it.
It probably won't hurt to reinstall Windows, but it may not work.
Well, and more importantly, it can't hurt, but more importantly, it may be a virus. There are a couple of viruses that attack ATAPI.sys. Again, you clean those out by putting the machine as a second drive in another machine and, you know, the whole routine.
Right. It certainly can't hurt to try that.
It certainly cannot hurt to try that. No promises, but it's the least expensive thing to try.
What do you get to lose?
Exactly.
Nothing.
Right.
While it's in that other machine, before you do anything else, for God's sake, back up all your data.
Okay. It's done.
All right. There you go.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
Thank you.
On that printer, we did have one of our folks in the IM chat, Galloway 81, suggested, isn't there a compatibility mode to allow XP drivers to install into Windows 7? Yes, he can click on that printer, right-click on it, and...
it's Windows 64-bit. That's a problem.
Oh, then, forget it.
That's a
32-bit would work. 64?
But he loaded 64, and so that means that it is unlikely that any sort of...
Definitely. I can almost, without a doubt. And like Steve was saying, you know, right now printers are so cheap. You know, it's just like...
Well, they're cheap, except that
where we go around, you know, the ink is like gold.
This one's an all-in-one with a multi-sheet feeder, so that adds to the price a bit.
Sorry, but if I get another... because right now I still have an old DeskJet 954 that works.
Sure.
You know, it works great, but I guarantee you, if I was to go get another color printer... I definitely want one with separate inks.
That's what I got. I got a Canon that did that.
Definitely. I have to pay a little bit, but to be able to just go in and get the individual inks, I like that idea a lot.
When my daughter was young, she went through her blue period. Everything had to be blue, which meant, you know, other colors just didn't work well.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I would have a lot of the other color left. And the cyan and whatever yellow, I guess it is. Whatever. We're going to take a break. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is. Oh, I forgot Ariel. Ariel, I don't remember your last name, and I apologize.
Yeah, Wazdorp.
It's Ariel. It's 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. We are going to take a break, but we'll be back with a whole lot more of everything we do. Join us in the IRC chat. Join us on Facebook. Join us on Twitter. We don't care where you join us. Just join us for a whole lot more sound bites on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ariel Wazdorp.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. We had, before it scrolls off the screen, Rich on the IRC chat said, "Hello, guys, I would like to ask one question. Do you know a good program to delete double files on a drive? Thanks." The question, of course, is what operating system? He then says Windows 7. Okay, so we're good.
Well, that one utility that you were talking about, Steve, that was it GL Utilities?
Let me check the link list.
You're looking for a deduplicator is what you're actually looking for.
Yeah, it looks for a lot of that.
Dedup.
Duplicate file finder also.
Yeah, there's another one.
There's a bunch of them out there like that. I don't use Windows anymore, so I don't. But if you look up dedup Windows 7, that's an interesting point. You should find a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of stuff listed. The Windows 7 download.com has a bunch of them.
One of the problems with that is how strictly you define duplicate. Is duplicate file name enough? Is date and time created enough? Or does it actually look at the contents of the file?
Yeah.
Right. And what you really want is something that actually digs in and looks at the two files.
Yeah.
Because if it just looks at the name, you could have the same name in two different subdirectories and they're completely different files. You can have file sizes and names the same, although that's a lot rarer. What it really needs to do is actually look in the file and see if the bits are the same.
Well, like on me, though, like for my bookkeeping in there, the QuickBooks, granted, I've got it on OneDrive, but I turn around once a week. Of course, it's backed up on a hard drive and off to another drive, but I'm paranoid because I've already had a crash once in my lifetime and never again. On Fridays, I've got a little routine that takes a copy of that and copies it off to three other drives that I have in my machine because I figure the odds of four drives going are unlikely. Plus, I've got it out on the server, and the server is backed up to another drive there. Like I say, I'm just very paranoid about the bookkeeping because I do not want to recreate that. Right. Somebody that does not have an accounting background, it was quite the challenge for me last year becoming a bookkeeper.
Yeah, I bet it was.
And one who had never reconciled a bank book. See, when I first got married, I was sitting there doing my banking, my checking, and I'd sit there and, but you go to write out a check and say it was $16.60. I'd round it up to $17. And I was asked by my late wife, "Well, how do you reconcile?" I go, "Well, at the end of the year, I look and see what it says. And usually it's more than I think that I've got in there, so I got a Christmas bonus." She goes, "Wait a minute."
That must have made her totally insane.
For a CPA,
yeah.
It drove her freaking nuts. And, it was just one of those things. It worked. I have never in my whole life, I ever bounced a check. Never bounced a check once in my life. And like I say, at Christmas time, I had a Christmas bonus. It worked.
Yep.
But now...
No. She was a CPA. She wanted it down to the quarter penny.
Oh, so now This is how much I hate it. I sit there and reconcile usually just about every other day. Because yeah, I don't want to get out of sync.
Well, you almost have to these days with the threat of fraud and online breaches and whatnot. You have to figure it out and do it often enough.
Well, like I say, I'm not an accountant, so I just, like I say, every other day I'll go in there, all right, and I reconciled for the past 2 days. I'm good, and I go on. So, but I just hate it.
So it's the banking fees that are annoying. One of the organizations I work with, their bank, the fees are different every month.
Oh, that's the worst.
Well, that's
they don't have a flat fee. The bank has been purchased 3 times since we opened the account 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, with these banks. You know, and these folks come in and they use their rewards cards and all the other stuff. Well, hello, us as merchants, we're getting hosed by those reward cards.
You pay for that extra.
That 2% you get back as a customer,
the banks
pay that as a merchant.
The merchants have to pay it.
Yeah.
And you know what, folks, the banks say, well, no, you can't charge your people more money. That's something you have to absorb. Well, wait a minute. It's the banks that are getting rich off doing these offers, but yet they don't give us any incentive to offer it.
Yeah.
Why don't you just not take that card?
Yeah, we're working on a 5% margin, and you want to take 2%?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, take the cards or deal with bounce checks.
Yeah, I know.
At least the credit cards, you know, if it's not good, you know right away. They'll decline it. Whereas, you know, checks...
Not always. We've had problems with credit card fraud where someone has given us a credit card that cleared, and it was for a big order, so we actually called their bank and asked them if the card was okay, and they said yes, so we charged the card, and then like 2 weeks later, they took the money back away from us after we shipped the product out because it was a fraudulent card, and we didn't ask the right question. So we asked if the card was valid. They said yes. We didn't ask if the card has been reported stolen. And the answer would have been yes.
Oh, jeez.
Because they can't volunteer any information. You have to ask
the
right
questions.
Yeah, but
when it's stolen? I mean, isn't that kind of negligence on the bank's part?
The bank was watching the charges to try to track the person who stole it.
Meanwhile, you get hosed. Meanwhile,
right, we're out several $1,000s of product and money.
Nice. All right, Google is working on a mobile messaging service to compete with Apple's recently announced iMessage service, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal. No details are available about how the system will work, but a reasonable assumption is that it will be designed around the Google Android platform and integrate with the existing Google Talk service. Google recently added video chat to Android akin to Apple's FaceTime, and the new service might build on this. Apple announced its iMessage service earlier this week and will include the technology in the iOS 5 update later this year. It will offer a way for iPhone and iPad users to chat with each other, avoiding the need for cellular SMS, although it will fall back to SMS if data services are not available. iMessage users will be able to share videos, and the service makes up for shortfalls in the ages-old SMS protocol, such as providing read receipts. All this is old news to BlackBerry users who have been using the BlackBerry Messenger service for several years, and which offers a similar feature set. However, BlackBerry's share of the handset market is currently nosediving. Despite the fact that messaging is essentially a last-century technology, there's still significant room for growth in the smartphone platform. The big difference with the new smartphone messengers is that they can leverage existing social graphs, notably the phone book. Your IM contact list is your phone book. The always-on, always-carried nature of smartphones offers advantages for next-gen messaging on smartphones. The Achilles heel of the new messaging service could be the lack of cross-platform messaging. Because of lack of cross-platform support, SMS isn't going to die out quickly, although cellular providers need to focus far more on data plans. Any new messaging service relying purely on data services would need the same kind of rock-solid reliability as SMS. And let us not forget that all of this takes from your data quota for the month. So... Although there's no difference really between that and SMS, it's all just data. Anyway, our question to you, would you use Google's message service? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or of course, toll free 1-800-790-0415.
And people often complain about the true cost of SMS and working it out per K. That an SMS is limited to 140 characters, and most of the phone companies charge you like 25 cents a piece. You're paying hundreds of dollars a meg. to work it out.
Yep. Unless you get unlimited. And, you know, they're using... People have been complaining about this forever because SMS uses a side channel that's open all the time anyway. It doesn't cost them extra to send your data because it's not even going over the regular data network, and yet they'll charge you extra money to use it because they want money and they don't care about
they
you.
They can.
That's simple enough. It's the way the world works. If it's a company, that's how companies work. All right, we're going back to the phones. Our next caller is Art from Victor, New York. Welcome, Art. What's your question?
I was given a used, I think, defunct HP Pavilion laptop.
Yep.
When I turn it on, I'm not that versed on computers, and I'm thinking about playing around with one. When I turn this unit on, I get a Windows display and a logo HP Invent, and then the display goes dark.
Goes black?
Yeah, there's no backlight. I have noticed if I shine a light on the screen, I can see a very faint image, something to the effect that there's a Windows logo and there's a line for owner's name and... I think to begin, click on username.
Now, do you have a... This is a laptop, you said.
Yes.
Do you have a desktop?
No, I have no computer.
Oh, okay. Because I say, if you could take it over... We'll take it over to a friend's house.
Try it on an external monitor.
Yeah, and on the back or on the side, you should see a...
yeah, there's a VGA connector
in
the back.
Take it over to a friend, and usually it's a series of FN keys. You'll see the FN key in the lower left-hand corner, and along the top on the F keys, you'll see one that'll show the display. Usually small display and big one, and that's where you can toggle between the laptop and the big monitor. And I would try taking it over to a friend's and see if it lights up on that display, because, yes, you might have a display going.
It sounds like the backlight is failing because you can see it when you shine a light on it.
Yep.
But
yeah,
it's interesting.
If I turn it off and leave it off for a little while and turn it back on, it will come on with a display, and then it goes black.
But it's odd that it starts out okay and then fails. There's also something called the inverter board.
Yeah,
it may not be the backlights themselves. It may be the inverter board that's powering the backlights.
Yeah, on the front bezel there are three displays.
Mm-hmm.
The left one is the on-off display, and the center is three disks, which I presume is for the hard drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hard drive activity light.
Yep.
And that light will flicker
as the hard drive is being read.
Yeah, like I say, I would first take it over to a friend, see if that lights up, and then otherwise you're probably going
to want... Now, I'd have to do something on this laptop to get the external display on.
Yes, if you take it over to friends, hook up the external display, and while it's booting...
If you're lucky, it'll automatically switch over. But
not always, but sometimes, like I say, you'll see a button on the lower left-hand corner that you'll see it in usually different coloring. It'll say FN, which is short for function.
This is on the laptop display itself?
Right.
No, on the keyboard.
On the keyboard. Oh, okay. On the keyboard, you'll see a key over in the lower left-hand corner that says FN.
Okay, right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Along the top on the keys, you'll see, and they have different descriptions of it.
I think on the HP Pavilion, it's F4. So if you were to hold down the function key and hit F4, wait a couple of seconds.
It'll toggle over.
It should toggle over to the external monitor.
Yeah, it switches between...
If it doesn't do it automatically.
It switches between the internal monitor, the external monitor, or both.
Yeah, sometimes it'll light up both of them.
Yeah.
But in your case, it sounds like, yes, like Steve was saying, could be the inverter board. But at least you can check out to make sure at least that's working. Then you could take it to some repair shop and have them check it out to see about maybe getting the screen or the inverter board replaced.
What you do is...
It would probably be more expensive than buying a new used one, wouldn't it?
Probably.
Likely, yes.
So quite often in those cases, people will use them as a desktop. Plug it into an external monitor and just leave it sitting.
Or you can find another used one online and just change it out.
Yeah, if you find an identical model used, you might be able to swap parts between them and get one working one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, this is on Windows XP. It does have an RF label, so I guess it's set up for Wi-Fi. So I could probably, if it works, I could probably use it in the library.
Sometimes they've got the symbols on there, but it's whether the device is actually installed within.
Well, there's two things. One is the FCC approves that the laptop shields itself well enough that it's okay to use at some level, whether in business or at home or whatever.
Well, this is an FCC transmitter decal.
Then it should that one should be the
Wi-Fi logo. Wi-Fi usually looks like some people call it an ice cream cone. It's a series of radiating concentric semi arcs. It's supposed to be radio waves generating.
But what I'm saying though is quite often the generic cases, the symbol can be there, but whether the wireless is actually installed, depending on the model.
Right.
So well, this is a decal in the bottom near where the
that's really your second
Windows XP decal is. And now this is somebody else's computer. Now I presume that was the system was registered for them.
Probably.
So they should have deleted all of their stuff and set it back. Factory fresh.
Well,
before
it
they
sounds
sold it
like that because he said what he can vaguely see is put in your username, put in your information.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I hope that they gave you the CD with the laptop.
Nope, I just got the laptop and the power supply.
Yeah, well,
there may not be a CD. Apple's going to start doing that this year with their new Lion computers.
You'll only be able to buy it online. We'll talk about that at some other point, I think. I think that's one of our things, yeah. My suggestion here is that let's take this one step at a time.
Right.
Look and see if it's possible that the screen is just turned down.
Well, it comes on bright with a typical.
But then it may be Windows starting.
And then it just blanks out.
Yeah, and that may mean that there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with the machine itself. It's just that when Windows comes up, it turns the screen brightness down because the last thing that happened was it was told to do that.
Okay.
There may be also buttons on your keyboard to raise the screen brightness. Give that a try.
And there is. There is one of those FN keys, one of those function keys will do that as well. We have to take a break.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
John.
Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Ariel, me, Nick, and all of you. It's 19 minutes after the hour. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ariel Wasberg.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. U.S. Tech hiring, this is good news for many of our listeners, U.S. Tech hiring for the second half of 2011 will increase as the gradually improving economy results in companies updating their IT systems after scaling back during the recession, according to a hiring survey from technology job website Dice.com. Several years ago, companies cut back pretty far, particularly in infrastructure and technology development, said Tom Silver, Senior Vice President for North America for Dice Holdings, who spoke about results from Dice.com's recent biannual hiring survey. They're in a little bit of a state of catch-up in terms of their infrastructure, and therefore the people they need in order to replace aging hardware and software and deal with security challenges. To fill their ranks, 65% of the survey's 900 respondents, including hiring managers and recruiters, said they plan on hiring more tech workers in the second half of the year compared to the first 6 months. This demand for IT staff means that employers are encountering a competitive marketplace for talent and explains why tech's unemployment rate is half of the national unemployment rate despite the still improving economy, Silver said. The unemployment tech rate tends to be half the national average, he said. So tech unemployment is around 4% versus the overall average, which is around 9%. So if one is a tech worker, while the market overall is not great, it continues to gradually improve for people with tech skills. Of the skills employers are seeking, Java development ranked first among the survey's respondents. Survey data also showed, survey data showed that companies need .NET developers and staff with experience in the nascent mobile space, which shows a major growth potential. Given, I have a friend who is a .NET developer, freelance .NET developer, and he's getting pretty good work for himself.
Oh, really?
Given the constantly changing state of programming languages, if you need one, let me know. Finding talented developers with current skills and relevant industry experience is always challenging, Silver said. While Dice.com currently lists approximately 1,500 jobs requiring mobile skills, mobile's growth is what's so incredible right now, said Silver. Those figures will probably increase in the coming months to approximately 2,000 or 3,000 compared to about 100 listings last year, he continued, adding that virtualization and cloud computing skills follow a similar trajectory. Does Dice.com saying hiring IT will increase, does that give you confidence in the future? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. Mm-mm. That's 966-5299, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. I'm finding a lot of people who are asking me, do you know an Apple developer for apps?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, apps. Android developer for apps. Do you know .NET people? Do you know Java people? they don't need so many people to sit in the back room and babysit machines. They need a lot of people to write applications.
And that's the trouble. Writing code is so boring.
You know what? I know people who are code monkeys and just freaking love it.
Oh, yeah. I did code
God
for...
God bless all of them.
I did code for about 5-6 years. And, you know...
I'll write code. I write code, but I write it in bursts. You know, write for an hour or so, and it's like, I got to get away from this now. I got to come back to it again tomorrow. Yeah,
that's why, you know, after doing code and getting into hardware, I just love hardware so much better.
Yep.
There's been a growing growth. No, that didn't.
A growing really. Growth?
That didn't come out right.
Okay.
There's been a growing...
It's certainly accurate.
Yes.
Yeah. But is it the right way to phrase it?
Technically correct.
You're
the best kind
an engineer,
of correct.
But yeah. Is it the right 100% way? 100% accurate and completely useless information.
There's a growing trend in freelance
there
coders.
You go. There you go.
Several websites have popped up for freelance coders where, you know, if you have an idea for an app, you can find a programmer to write that app for you and either pay them a cut of the app or you pay them a flat fee and you can get your app done. So because there's always the idea person and then there's the programming person. And what we see a lot of in the past is you're a brilliant programmer, but then the user interface is crap.
Well,
and it works great for techies, but average people don't know how it works.
Yeah.
So you have to have that trade-off between how the end user and the programming in the background.
Yeah. Completely frankly, a lot of Google stuff is like that. At least it used to be. Designed for geeks by geeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody has to go back in and say, you know what? Real humans need like function keys. And now that it is that way,
I'm still looking for the gesture-based email service they offered.
People won't. I'll tell you what. People, you know, that whole Minority Report thing.
Yeah.
People aren't going to use that because having spent an extreme number of years as a puppeteer, I can tell you just how hard it is and how long it takes to build up the shoulder and arm and chest muscles to keep waving your hands in the air for 8 hours a day.
So you're used to having your arms up someone's
exactly.
And if you have to go in all the way up to the shoulder.
I can tell you stories about puppet shows that it turned your hair what? Oh, too late.
That's already going great.
Yeah, I will say this. One of the things I most loved was being a puppeteer. But the first month or two, man, it is painful because you're sitting like this.
Yeah.
For the entire show with your arms straight up in the air, puppets on your hands doing all of this stuff, your neck is had his way back. It hurts when you're done. It hurts from wrist to waist. All those muscles. Once you get it, I mean, once you get there, it's fine. But
well, it's stretching the muscles and training them.
Well, exactly. And that's true of anything. But it would also be true of that Minority Report thing. If people are going to actually work all day, as opposed to every once in a while flip a page or whatever, it's an iPad thing. Why do people sell, and why do so many people buy stands for the iPad? Because nobody wants to hold it for that length of time.
Oh, yeah, even though it's very light and convenient to carry around, like you say, it's still got to build up muscles. Talk about building them. I found the same thing when I was learning to get back into the guitar.
Yep.
You know, at 62 years old, training the hand that it's got to go around the neck of the guitar. Man, like you say, getting those muscles trained.
At 62 years old, just remembering what a guitar is some days has got to be
hard. Yeah, that's a challenge.
Sure, there's
a
problem
But leading into another segue there, I found a couple apps, though, which were
To play the guitar for you.
That, too. But no, to learn the fretboard.
No, you know what you want?
The key. This way, I can pull up the various keys. You know, it'll sit there and run you through a drill. So you can learn the fretboard, whether you were on a four-string bass or a six-string guitar.
Did you see yesterday's Google Doodle?
Yes. Yes. Well, that was up for a couple days.
For a couple days, because Thursday, Saturday. Thursday was Les Paul's birthday.
Yeah, Eric had it up, and he was recording his own music and then playing it out. That was cool.
Matt McHugh, who's a friend of the show from Sherman Oaks, California, via Facebook, he asked, he said, this would make a great contest. You know, best song.
Yeah.
The problem is, I don't know what we would give you for a reward. You know, a prize for the contest. Besides our, you know, undying gratitude and your name up in pixels. Other than that,
maybe a flash drive or something.
I don't know. Maybe we give away a flash drive. Let's do that. All right. Here's the deal. We're announcing a contest. Send to.
I don't know.
Yeah, we better.
We can't do that. We better check with Rob first.
We got to check with the boss.
We'll talk to Rob first.
Otherwise,
if
we will get deep.
He's probably just started.
Yeah. All right. We'll check with Rob first before we get for real. Yeah.
If you see that phone rings, see that little device over there start vibrating all over the place.
He's up yet.
Jump off the desk.
Oh yeah, no, he's up. He was texting me earlier this morning because I had to bring some stuff, headphones back.
He may be out at the Jazz Fest and not able to hear us.
No, he's got a gig tonight. He's got a DJ.
Oh, all right.
Now, that'd be an interesting guitar for someone to actually make.
How
many strings is it?
In the meantime, however, Steve will put up the link. Ten strings. For those of you who did not see the...
And two sound holes. And two soundboards, too.
Right. For those who did not see the Google Doodle, Microsoft. Google does doodles every once in a while. They replace the Google logo with a picture, and they replaced it with Pac-Man and a couple of other things.
They are always creative.
But what they've done this time for Les Paul's birthday on Thursday, I think 94th birthday.
96.
96th birthday. That was pretty close. He and I weren't that close, frankly. They've put up this Google Doodle that you can actually play the guitar. And if you hit the record button there, you can actually then play it on the keyboard. Either the 1 through 9 keys or some of the keys in the, it's pretty cool, and you can record up to 30 seconds of sound. So, you know, people could record bumps for us.
There
30
we go.
Second bumps.
Yeah, 30 second bumps.
But it's there. Steve has put it online if you want to go play with it. It was very, very cool. There have been great Google Doodles. There's a list of Google Doodles at Google, surprisingly enough.
But like I say, the apps out there, that is so much fun.
Oh, the apps are the big thing. Oh. That's the whole reason for these devices.
That's why I love my iTouch. You know, granted, it's not an iPhone, which I don't need, don't want. Because folks were sitting there saying,
don't have that monthly fee to pay.
Well, yeah, that's the biggest thing. But, you know, I had somebody else come up to me. Yeah, but all your email. Don't you want your email on your phone so you can see what's going on? And I go, no.
When I get my email on my iPod,
my email,
I'm in a Wi-Fi zone.
My email stays on my computer at the shop. I'm sorry. When I leave, that's it. If it's that important, pick up the phone and call me.
Right.
Call me.
Well, more importantly, you have Sam. If something really bad happens, Sam will call you.
Oh,
you don't have to worry about that.
Yes. I don't need, because a lot of folks, well, can I just have his phone number? No. Sam is very good about that.
Yeah.
She protects me.
People ask me for my phone number all the time. I give my Google Voice number now. So if they start annoying me, I block them.
Well,
I don't care. It's my private number.
Well,
it's not like I do it publicly. If I ever get a 1-900-ASK-NICK number, I'll give it to everybody on Earth. They can call me all day long. $2.95 for the first minute, $1.50 every additional minute. You can call me all day long, and I'll talk to you for an hour and a half about anything.
This is Nick Francesco.
No, just the standard stuff. So you say you're having a problem with your computer.
Hmm.
Why don't you tell me about
it? For Blue Screen of Death, press 1.
Yeah, right.
For email problems, press 2.
But, my private number is just that, my private number. If I give it to you and you annoy me, I block you. I don't care anymore. I'm old and I don't have to
Speaking about Sam protecting me and my partner, I think next Saturday I definitely have to have at least a moment of silence.
Yeah?
My partner Dan is getting married.
That's exactly right. He is taking the big leap forward.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, getting married was the single best thing I ever did in my life, except for my daughter. and I'm very happy. But, there is that moment where part of it you think to yourself, what?
I know there's going to be a lot of ladies out there disappointed. You know, he is getting married, but, hey.
Dan's no longer a single guy. What are you going to do?
You know, we keep telling him, dead man walking.
That's exactly right.
You know, just busted his chest, but he's such a good
kid. Well, we all married guys. You know, misery loves company, so we're very happy. I know my wife is not listening to the show right now because she's at Public Market running our stand there.
You sure she doesn't have the radio on there?
I'm hoping not. No.
If you will find out at home.
A break in the car, sitting there with the radio on, I will be in trouble when I get home.
And she doesn't listen to the podcast?
Sometimes she does. Sometimes
I say maybe we suggest that she does this week.
Yeah, sometimes she really has downloaded my entire old time radio library. I've got hundreds and hundreds.
Oh yes, I remember you had those. Oh,
hundreds of them.
That was fantastic listening to.
And I've still got them. I just haven't put them online anywhere because
it's too much.
I told you guys this story. I was an old. I had an old 486,
mm-hmm.
and I had about half my library on it because I didn't. It's terabytes of data. I had about half my library on it and an old 10 megabit card in it. And RIT called because I had it in my office. RIT called me and says, "We think you've been hacked." What do you mean I've been hacked? Well, you're serving an awful lot of files. I said, no, it's all legitimate. It's all off of copyright. It's all old-time radio stuff. Copyright is gone. It's 70, 80 years old, and copyright was only for, whatever, 50 years
okay,
at the time.
Yep.
They said, well, you still have to take it down because you're saturating our network. I said, it's a 486 with a 10 meg card. How much data can I be pushing? Apparently, I was pushing 7 terabytes a day. 7 terabytes a day.
Well, my one other...
I don't know why, but for some reason that made them unhappy.
Well, my one colleague that used to work for us part-time, Sherry, she loved... I showed her the site, and she was going to your site there because at night she liked listening to a lot of the old-time radio because, you know, having trouble getting to sleep, so she put that on, and just listening to the old ones, you know, that you had up there, I mean, she was downloading a lot of it, and, oh, I got this and this and this... And she was enjoying just listening at night because it'd take her quite a long time to get through one of them.
Years of stuff up there. I mean, you could listen consistently for years.
Well, you know, because she'd sit and listen part of it, and then she'd remember she fell off at this point.
Yeah.
So she'd go to that point and start it again. So she goes, what could take me, you know, a whole week?
Yep.
So
yep,
she was loving it.
Yep. 7 terabytes a day. Very, very, very cool.
Wow, that was cool.
Lots of old-time stuff. Lots of stuff.
You ever thinking of putting it back up? Or
where? How am I going to afford the data charges to put it back up? Maybe I could put it up privately for one or two people to check out, but
yeah.
I can't put it up publicly. I can't afford because now RIT certainly wouldn't let me do it, even though legally it's okay.
Yeah.
I can understand.
Yeah,
you know, it's their network. I can understand that. I don't have a problem with that. But in terms of paying for 7 terabytes a day of data, yeah, that ain't happening. I'm just not going to be able to do it. And people all over the world were using it. They made me take it down. I said, I'll make a deal with you. I'll password protect it because there's a bunch of guys and gals over in Iraq who are downloading this stuff, and I'm not going to shut them down. So I emailed all of them and said, look, here, this is the deal, so get it now because I got to turn it off. And they all downloaded it, and they were and once they all wrote to me and said I got everything, then I took it down. But, 7 terabytes a day. 7 terabytes a day. And I suppose I could sell subscriptions to it, and that might pay for the data. Maybe that would work. Maybe I could just do that. Now there's an idea, a little thing like that. Maybe I could do that, but I couldn't ask anybody to say, you know, just give me 7 terabytes a day. That's all I need.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the S3 cost calculator.
Yeah,
because you pay by the meg storage and you pay by the meg transfer.
Yep.
All right. Our next caller is Big Bill from Webster, New York. Welcome, Big Bill. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Should I call you Bill, or would you prefer Big?
Big Bill.
Yeah, whatever. just want to say hi to Ariel. She knows me.
Yeah, she said.
She's smiling right now. Apparently, she doesn't know you well.
I got a question for you. I got a bad feeling I know the answer, but I thought I'd run it by you anyway. I got an HP Pavilion, and it's A1023C.
Okay.
It's a pretty high zoo computer, but it's 5 or 6 years old. I put Windows 7 on it, and Windows 7 installed And when I go into the hardware manager, everything says it's happy. There's no question marks or anything. But when I plug the sound card into the back of the, it's got onboard sound.
Yeah.
I get no sound out of it. But a really weird thing, there's a front sound thing for headphones.
Mm-hmm.
If I plug the speakers into the headphone jack, the sound works. And I find that kind of weird. And I've looked on HP, and they don't have any Windows 7 drivers. Probably won't, I imagine. So, but I'm just curious as to why you think the rear sound card connection wouldn't work, but the front headphone connection does.
Well, I'll tell you what, Big Bill, we will answer that question, but not right now, because first we have to take a break. So you stay on the line. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave and Steve and Ariel, Big Bill, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Eventually, we're just going to fill up this whole studio. It's 41 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ariel Westrup.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we have Big Bill on the line. All right, Bill. You've got an HP Pavilion with Windows 7, device managers all happy, but you get no sound when you plug it into the regular speakers, but the front jack works, yeah?
Yes.
All right.
Which I found curious.
You
I
should
also found it curious that Windows 7 thinks it's installed a sound driver and is happy with it.
Well, it clearly has because you're getting sound out of the front jack.
It did.
What's likely happened is that your, what's it called, the audio tech driver, the... Son of a pup.
No, it
Realtek. The Realtek driver. You likely have a Realtek driver. You probably will find that in the lower right corner and all those little icons across the bottom. It's the Realtek HD Audio. And what you will find is that there's there's several places you can change the way the sound works. You can go to to 5.1, 2.1, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it may be that it's set to put the output to HDMI and not to the green connectors. What you really mm-hmm. want to do is make sure you've got 2.1, not 5.1.
So you think this is a Realtek?
I think
could
it,
be, yes.
It well, if it's not Realtek, it's one just like it.
Yeah.
And basically, you got to look for
generic enough.
You know, if it's Realtek, there's an icon in the icon bar. Somewhere either hidden or showing. And you can open it up and change where the sound goes. And many others have exactly the same function, although they're not Realtek.
You may find it in the drives. Sound control panel as well.
Right.
That you have to tell it where to put the sound because you've got several options. You've got the rear connector. You've got the HDMI connector. You've got sometimes there's line out and there's headphone out. And all of those... have to get set, so you're telling the computer where to put the audio. But when you put the plug into the headphone jack, quite frequently, that overrides all the settings and says just use the headphone jack because there's something plugged into it.
Yeah, it sees the headphone jack is in use right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So when you unplug the headphone jack, it goes back to what it was originally told, which is probably a port you're not using, such as the HDMI port. So you got to go in and find that and tell it, use the green jack if it gives
it... Or what window set up when I loaded it.
Right.
Exactly.
It's working fine under XP.
Right. And Windows may have said, oh, you've got this HDMI. I'm sure you're using it. Set the sound there.
Yeah.
So really, you just need to go in and fix that. Clearly, the sound is working if it comes out of the headphones fine.
Okay. So let me play with the sound control panel, and maybe I can get it going.
Yep. There you go.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, Bill, let us know how you make out.
I will.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Right.
And so the other thing to take a look at, just in case, is that you do have your speakers plugged into the speaker out jack in the
and
back.
And it's not muted.
Green.
Which is usually green. And the external volume is not muted.
Yes.
And the power is turned on to your speakers.
And
if your speakers have a separate volume control, make sure that's turned
yeah.
on. It's that simple stuff like that. I hate when I do it myself. I put a computer back together, push the power button, nothing happens. And there's that moment, fraction of a second, where you go, oh, crap, I did something wrong. Oh, yeah, I forgot to plug it in.
Or I put it all together,
yep.
Buttoned it up, you know, and then go to hook it all up. I put the power cord in it and the keyboard and get it, and I go hit the button. Nothing. That's, wait a minute. I just put a new freaking motherboard in this thing. Undo the side of the cover, and there's the main power cord.
Yeah, just dangling there.
It should be hooked up to the motherboard.
You know what I found? The computer gods don't like it when you're arrogant enough to button up the machine before you test it.
Yep.
That is arrogant and will be punished.
We've had a bunch of them where they work fine while you're putting it to you put a major piece in, test it out. Put the next major piece in.
Oh, it goes great.
You close the cover down, won't work.
Yep.
Yeah, it's because, like you said, the arrogance of
actually putting the cover on, the computer gods
I had one this week where nothing would work. It was plugged in, everything's on, and I finally found out that the power strip had slipped out of the socket.
Yeah.
So everything's plugged into the power strip just fine. The power strip is turned on, but no.
Yeah, yeah. It's just plain arrogance, and I don't do it anymore. I don't think I've had the screws in any of my cases in 20 years, just so that the computer gods are going, crap, he didn't put the thing in. So that's all right. It's not arrogance. It's something else. All right. Our next caller is Skip from Henrietta, New York. Or we're skipping Henrietta. I don't know which this is. Welcome,
anyway.
Skip. What's your question?
Okay. I got two questions, possibly related, but one's long-term and one's short-term. The short-term, simpler one, less critical. I can't get Java to work on some games here. It was working before with the same games, and then I went through a bunch of cleaning to get rid of one of these fake antivirus programs, antivirus 2011,
spookware.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
And now I've deleted Java, I've put it back in again, their test says it works fine, but the games still say, no, it's not there. And I went through and did the permission under the options.
Have you tried using Revo to uninstall it?
I just did the uninstall.
No.
Revo.
Yeah, Revo. See, what happens is when you use the uninstaller programs, all they do is turn the one bit off. It doesn't really clean it out. Whereas Revo literally goes into the registry and cleans those things out. So if they're messed up, Revo will undo that by totally eliminating it. So when you do an install, it's like it never existed there before.
Most uninstalls just wipe out one bit so you can't see it anymore. But when you go to reinstall it, it says, oh, look, all this stuff is already in the registry. Oh, I'll just use it.
Okay, I was wondering if I had to go back and do that Windows repair.
No, I would start with Revo One Installer first.
Okay.
And you might want to manually install the Java again, too.
Yeah, okay.
Right, do Revo One Installer and then manually install Java again.
Yeah, because of this and my other problem, I did go and kick off, again, the undelete, you know, the removal thing, Internet Explorer 8, and it went back to 7.
Right.
That didn't help either.
Okay, try that.
Yep.
My more annoying problem is similar kind of thing, but maybe related. Wife's been trying to go through and do the sales tax, New York State sales tax program.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, well, she hasn't had good luck with it.
Yeah, I know.
At least on this computer. We got it to work on another computer off the same router, but so it's not a hardware block. But she gets about halfway through the logging in, and it gets to a page that has her name and number and stuff like this and some menu, and then the bottom half of the page just stops and doesn't get there.
It is very possible that they're looking at some JavaScript that you can't run because of the same problem.
Yep.
Okay, that's been a longer problem. Okay, but so there's a Java there too also.
Yep,
probably.
Because we've talked to them and spent several hours with them, and A, they've never been able to tell me what the bottom half of the program is.
Yeah. Well, here's what you want to do. Go to the other machine and see if you can run those games.
Yeah.
Okay, if you can run the games and the New York State tax thing, then that's probably a related problem.
Okay, yeah. Well, the games, tax has been a long-term problem. The Java has been a short-term problem since these other nasties got through there.
Yeah. Well, give it a shot.
Try. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks. We have just two
minutes. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What are we waiting for? There's a...
And the crowd goes wild.
And the reason I put that on, we just had another call.
Yeah.
Big Bill called back.
Yeah.
It's working.
Wait. We got one right?
That's why I cheered. We actually did.
We got one
2 hours right? And we got one right. That's not bad.
That's not this year so far. We got it in before the end of the year. That's really the important thing. We
should
got it in before the end of the year.
Should we write it on the wall or something?
I think we should engrave it on our...
On the wall.
Wall. That's probably the best place.
That way you can be on the camera, you know, the camera on the back wall behind you guys, and we can keep track of how many we actually got right.
One so far. One.
That's not bad, and this is only...
We'll have to put the board back up that we put up during...
For a pledge drive?
During pledge drives and keep track. We got one right. That's not bad. We're ahead of the game. Golly, Ned, I feel good today.
Hey, you know, we're on a roll.
We are.
Ah, damn!
One in a row, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. We could not possibly be more thrilled. We're very honored. Thank you, Bill, for calling back. Honestly, very few people really call back.
Yeah, it's nice to know that, you know, we do get it from time to time. You know, the folks will always, we're out in public. You know, I know all three of us get it, you know. Really enjoy your show. Matter of fact, I had somebody at the Jazz Fest last night go, you know what? You suck, but I love you guys.
Yeah.
And I like your Thursday night show. I go, well, gee, thank you.
Thank you. There's a mixed message, but thank you very much.
That was kind of, and he yells it out. He yells it out, and it's like, gee, thanks, I guess.
Yeah, we have we have people who love us. We have people who hate us, and
it's quite a mixed audience.
It's quite a mixed bag, but that's all right. You know what? That's fine.
Coming up on 22 years. You know, I mean,
coming up on 22 years, we've been doing this longer than there's been an Ariel. 1 year longer than there's been an Ariel. That's exactly right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and those of you listening to us. That music tells me that we are done. You have wasted another 2 hours of your life listening to this show. I wish you people would get out and get a life, because instead of actually listening to us, but we're in fact quite delighted that you did. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I want to thank everybody who called in. Those of you who called in at the last minute and didn't get on, perhaps you could call in earlier next week. That might be useful. But we're pretty much done. So thanks to each and every one of you. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of this craziness. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, maybe Ariel Wasdorf, maybe not. Me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 55 minutes after the hour. We're Soundbites on the truly great member-supported Jazz 90.1. George is coming up next with the greatest German music in town, so you listen, because it's good.